From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made in Eugene, Oregon in June when multimedia journalist Ellen Meany received a message on Facebook. It came from a man she had never met. The message said, quote, "Would you be interested in getting married and having beautiful babies?" As Meany writes in a piece for Medium Online, it has been published as well in Vox, women in the public eye are subjected to this kind of harassment on a near constant basis, and it takes many different forms. Women can be ogled, propositioned, bullied, shamed, taunted, and women of color in particular experience discrimination and harassment. Tuesday night, Atlanta news anchor Sharon Reed read a comment from a viewer on air in which the viewer used a racial epithet. Reed used that email to call out the kind of racism that reporters and anchors of color often experience. With a national conversation focused on the harassment that women face, we're taking a look at how local news personalities, anchors, journalists, and more are dealing with it. And yes, it comes on the heels. Just moments ago, you heard Senator Al Franken will resign his seat after feeling pressure from fellow Democrats in the Senate and from around the country. I'd like to welcome our guests right here in studio for the hour. Patrice Walsh is a former reporter at 13WHAM, a friend and a former colleague, and it's always great to see you. Thanks for being here, Patrice.
Thanks, Evan.
Also here is Stacey Pengen, chief meteorologist at WROC-TV. Stacey, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
And Casey Jones is here, reporter at WHEC, getting ready to celebrate a year in Rochester. Congratulations. Thanks for being here.
Happy to be here.
Norma Holland is on the line with us, anchor at 13WHAM, and again, a former colleague. Nice to have you, Norma. How are you?
Good to talk to you, friend. And hello, ladies. I wish I could be with you in studio. It's great to hear your voices.
Hey, Norma.
Hi, Norma.
Well, let me start with some of the comments that Ellen Meany made in her piece. And again, this is from Vox.com. And I'm just going to, I'll quote her first and we'll see what our guests have to say about it. She said, quote, "Harassment by viewers is so commonplace, it's basically become part of the job for women. You're a public figure in a small town, a woman always dressed up and made up. Your first creeper is a rite of passage. A text from a weirdo obsessed with your shoes is just a hilarious screenshot. It's something to laugh about at drinks with fellow reporters until it isn't funny anymore," end quote. Patrice, what do you think?
I think it does happen, and I think sometimes it's hard for many of us to talk about. I never dealt with so much the sexual harassment, but I think every reporter has had a creeper of sorts. I remember in my younger years, it was mainly just somebody that called all the time, and he used to call me Cinderella. And he used to say he had story ideas. And it was just, you know, you try to be nice because you don't want to make anybody angry so it doesn't take the next step. And luckily, I never had to do that. But I had colleagues that, you know, had to call the police and take action because of, you know, creepers turning into stalkers. And it's real, and it happens.
Yeah, and by the way, listeners, for this hour, we've reached out to our colleagues who are here with us. Number one, choosing to share their experiences and stories, and we will give everyone here a chance to be as specific as they want or don't want to be. I mean, that is very personal, and some of this stuff is very, very difficult to discuss. But I just want to put that out there for listeners, that some of this stuff is hard to hear. I mean, Stacey Pengen, for you, how do you view the comments that Ellen Meany made, that harassment by viewers is so commonplace it's become kind of a part of the job?
It is. And the one thing that I've experienced, I never really thought of it as harassment per se, more, you know, viewers being complimentary and sometimes crossing the line. I never really thought of it as harassment, but just going a little too far and trying to be nice and showing that they like you.
Yeah, and maybe in some sense, again, like Patrice said, you don't want to anger somebody or you know, so as the case may be, but why are they obsessing with appearance or things that don't have anything to do with the job that you were doing on the air?
Right? I don't know. And that's the one thing that bothers me the most. I'll take a compliment, you know, any day of the week. I love when people say that they love the dress I'm wearing. But there's a difference between saying, you know, that's a nice dress and you look hot in that dress. Or someone saying, I loved what you were wearing today. I couldn't even focus on the forecast. Well, that's a problem to me. That's what I do for a living. I tell you, or try to tell you, help you plan your day. And if that's not coming across because, you know, I'm distracting, that's a problem for me.
Well, but I wouldn't blame yourself for that.
No. But, you know, it's still there.
Yeah. Okay. Casey, for you, what do you make of Ellen's comments about harassment by viewers as being so commonplace?
It definitely is commonplace. It's not right at all, but it is something that I expected to happen, but just because I expected it to happen doesn't mean it hurts any less. And I wish it would stop, and I hope that when viewers listen to this, maybe they'll try to be a little nicer to people on the news.
Let me ask Norma Holland, because I sat next to you, worked alongside you, was proud to do that for so many years, and I will say, Norma, before you even jump in here, that men do not have to go through what women have to go through. It's just not even close. I don't even think it's anywhere close. but how do you want to address Ellen's comment about harassment by viewers as commonplace?
I think it is an expected part of the job. I think that, you know, unfortunately, viewers believe that, I say some viewers, because, you know, like Stacey said, the majority of people who comment or who write in or who bother to reach out to you are just trying to be kind, right? They're just trying to say, you looked really nice today, or, you know, that kind of thing. So I don't look at that as harassment. Although sometimes, you know what you went through to go to school, right? Like, you all studied hard, you all worked hard. You sometimes wish people would focus on the story instead of, you know, what a cute outfit you had on or pretty necklace and all that. But unfortunately, there is that expectation that some viewers have, that you are on display. So as a result, you are to be oogled, you are eye candy. Unfortunately, sometimes this industry gives that impression of women in media, that we are window dressings, that we are, you know, as a consultant once told me, opportunity for color on the set, you know, amidst a sea of gray and black suits. So people feel entitled, or they don't think anything of, you know, making comments that have absolutely nothing to do with what's in our heads, but more what's on our bodies. So that's sometimes, I think, an expectation that some people have of us. And that's why they feel very free to make those comments.
Patrice Walsh, did you find men or women were tougher on you when they were making nasty or harassing comments?
I think it's definitely, Norma's laughing. We've shared some emails that we've received together. Definitely women. And, you know, I've got to say that most people do this anonymously. They hide behind this. I don't think they'd ever say it to your face, or maybe some would. But I could always tell when I got a nasty email that it was from a woman, just because it was all appearance-based. Oh, you know, I hate your hair, I hate your clothes, I don't like that shade of lipstick, you know, I don't like the way you talk. I had a woman one time tell me she didn't like me because I talked with my hands too much. But I definitely think, I'm not even Italian, but hey, you know, it's just, it's very superficial. And I guess, you know, as Norma was saying too, I think people do feel that because we're in the public eye, that they can say anything they want and that it doesn't hurt. And it does hurt. I mean, we're people. You know, I used to say to people that if I could respond, I would say, you know, I'm a mother. I'm working. I'm trying to support my family. I'm not a beauty queen. I didn't get into this business because of my looks. I'm hopefully got into it because of my brain and my studies and my desire to tell people's stories. And I think if you do get the chance to respond, sometimes they apologize and they say, I didn't mean that, or I didn't mean to hurt you. But it does hurt.
Expect you to respond at all? And then does that disarm them?
I think it does. I think it does. Because the woman actually that made the hand comment, when I did respond to her, she felt horrible. But, you know, she said it was so distracting. Your hands were all over the place. And I said, you know, that's just the way I express myself. I said, I don't think that makes me a bad person or a bad reporter. And don't even get me started about the hair comments, okay? when you're outside, your hair blows. And, you know, we don't have people that hold umbrellas over us. And
no makeup artists.
Yeah. You know, it is what it is. We're just like you when you go outside. Your hair blows, you know, it shouldn't take away from what you're saying. Like Stacey said, listen to what I'm saying, you know, unless it's so distracting. And I agree, during windstorms, sometimes difficult.
Well, you know, to the extent that we've got some regular listeners to this program, if anybody who's listening is kind enough to occasionally think that this program does a nice job in sensitive subjects. I learned a lot of that by watching Patrice Walsh, by the way. I just want to say that. No doubt about
that.
And I also see our phone lines lighting up with people who want to share their takes on this. So we are going to be coming to our listeners on the phone. I just want to work through a couple of things first. So if you're on the phones, please hang tight for just a little bit. Norma, you agree with Patrice? I mean, again, this is not exclusive to women making tough comments to other women on in television or in the public eye, but has it been harder and tougher coming from women or men for you?
You know, I got a lot of comments from women, and like Patrice said, they were very specific. Like, you know, I don't like that shade of whatever on you, or you know, kind of thing. And sometimes, like Patrice said, if you write back and tell them, like, oh well, this was, you know, whatever, I got this as a gift from my mother, that you disarm them. And 9 times out of 10, you know, they'll write back and go, I'm really sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. But the men were very, very cruel. I mean, they were more about how I spoke. They didn't like, one guy said that I interrupted too much, that I always had something to say, which I'm like, well, then you should have hired me then. If you don't want me to say anything, then you should have hired me, right? But, men could be particularly cruel. They got, I would never say sexual in nature because it never got, but they were, I, you know, the first time someone called me the N-word was a man, you know, and, you know, he made it very clear he didn't like me being on the air and, you know, that kind of thing. So you could tell who's who. Sometimes they're brave enough to write their names, and so, but a lot of, I could tell who was a man and who was a woman.
Hmm. Well, why don't we listen to some comments that Sharon Reed made, and then we'll turn to our other guests in studio for some reaction, because I think it unfortunately lines up with some of what women experience, particularly women of color experience. So Sharon Reed is an Atlanta news anchor. They're in the midst of a mayoral campaign. It's been heated, and some people occasionally don't like the way certain events are covered, et cetera, et cetera. Well, Sharon Reed, in this clip, you're going to hear her. First thing that you're going to hear is her reading the comment that came from a viewer, and then the way she chose to respond to that.
You need to be fired for the race-baiting comment you made tonight. It's okay for blacks to discuss certain subjects, but not whites. Really? You are what I call a... Now, she tried to write the N-word, but she spelled it. I wish we would just put it on the screen. It's after 9 o'clock at night. People have the right to see it. She wrote N-I-G-E-R. Not a black person. You are a racist. N-I-G-E-R. You are what's wrong with the world. And so I would say to Kathy a couple of things. Number one, you mischaracterize what I said. I didn't say that white people couldn't talk about race. Quite the contrary. We think that race is an authentic discussion to have. It's one we're having tonight because it's one many of you are talking about at home. And it's one that has clearly entered the Atlanta mayor's race. And that's why behind the scenes, my colleagues and I, white and black, we decided, hey, let's go for it, right? Because we do try to keep it real here. And I think we do a very good job of it. So I think when arguing with somebody, you have to be careful not to mischaracterize their viewpoint. So I won't mischaracterize your view either, Kathy Ray. I get it. On December 5th, 2017, you think it's okay to call this journalist. I don't. But I could clap back and say a few things to you. But instead, I'll let your words, Kathy Ray, speak for themselves. And that'll be the last word.
That's Sharon Reed in Atlanta. Casey Jones is a reporter for WHEC, and can I get your take first on what you just heard from her, and then maybe you want to share some of what you've had to experience, unfortunately?
I think that what Sharon Reed said was very necessary. She had such a point. It's 2017, and you're still calling me the N-word, so obviously race is still an issue. And I think she got her point across, and I'm sure Kathy Ray, who I think we... people discovered doesn't even live in Atlanta. I think she lives in Flint, Michigan. I'm sure she ate her words, and hopefully she understood that she was all wrong for what she did. And unfortunately, like you say, journalists of color, women of color, have to experience things like that all the time. I am originally from Richmond, Virginia, which is the capital of the Confederacy. But, you know, I never really experienced racism. I went to a historically black college, university. And my first job was out in West Texas. And taking me from an HBCU where everyone looks like me to a place like West Texas where nobody looks like me was completely different, but totally necessary. And I think there was definitely a reason that was my first job ever. Because again, I hadn't really experienced much of it. First time I was called an N-word was on air. I mean, someone wrote in and said, you have this new N-word girl on air. First couple of days I had been there. So it kind of let me know what I was in for. Stayed there a year and a half. But one of the situations that I can remember very, very clearly is I was an MMJ, which means that I do everything by myself. I shoot, edit, write, and sometimes I even have to run my own live shots by myself. So as I'm out middle of nowhere, a place called Andrews, Texas, I am about to go live on air, and these two white men come in a pickup truck, and they're circling the area that I'm in with a Confederate flag hanging on the back of their truck, just riding in circles, just going and going and going, honking the horn. Keep in mind, I mean, I got to be composed to be on air in just a few minutes. I'm just standing there by myself. So it's a question of, you know, my safety. Then I'm also, you know, looking at them with the Confederate flag. Like, I mean, what are you trying to say? Obviously, we know the history of the Confederate flag. And it was just, it was a lot to handle. And again, I think that was supposed to be my first job for a reason, because here in Rochester, thankfully, I haven't experienced anything like that. But from that Confederate flag incident to people posting pictures of monkeys under my stories to people just calling me the N-word under the stories, sometimes it would hurt even more because it would be posted on Facebook, of course. And we had someone who monitored our Facebook page, but somehow those comments got overlooked and I had to remove them myself. So it was just a lot to deal with. And I think Sharon Reed, hats off to her for being able to respond to something like that. I wasn't always given the opportunity to respond. And I knew that even if I did respond, would I really have been able to change anyone's mind? I always thought the best thing in that situation when someone is just overtly racist is to just prove them wrong, prove to them that I'm human, just like they're human, and maybe we can relate on some level.
Stacey Pendgen, when you hear Casey, you hear Norma, Patrice talking about, you know, choosing where do you respond, you know, occasionally what a response can do, I'm curious to know, you know, if there are men making comments in your direction that are overtly sexual, that I think are at least vaguely, if not directly, harassing. You know, do you find there any benefit to calling it out, or do you generally tend to ignore it?
I tend to ignore it. I don't want to draw any attention to it. I don't want it to keep going. And if I'm doing a Facebook Live, which we do every night, love doing them, you know, it's a great opportunity to interact with the viewers, to get to know the viewers, for the viewers to get to know us. And 99% of the viewers watching a Facebook Live will comment asking, you know, what weather am I going to run into if I'm driving to New York this weekend? Awesome. I'll answer that any day of the week. And then one will pop up. I love you. You rock. You're hot. And I just pass by it. I'll answer every single comment or question within that thread. But if one of those comes up, you're getting skipped. I'm sorry. It's just, no, it's not happening.
Not appropriate. Yeah. And so Marion Rochester, Bonnie, we're coming to you in just a second, but one more question for our guests who are joining us to talk about the various kinds of harassment that women, especially working in television news, experience. And the conversation prompted by a piece published in Medium and Vox.com by a multimedia journalist named Ellen Meany titled Local TV News Has a Harassment Problem from People Who Watch the News. I guess I want to know if our guests who have experienced this feel support or feel things changing now because there's so much emphasis on this. Again, listeners, if you just missed that, Senator Al Franken announced half an hour ago that he will resign his Senate seat. Obviously, since Harvey Weinstein and the story published on October 5th in the New York Times, there has been a wave of people, mostly women, coming forward sharing their stories of harassment, abuse, and more that they have suffered. I'm curious to know if you see any change or if at least looking back you have felt support if you have needed it. Patrice Walsh?
I hope it changes. And I think maybe we're seeing the small changes because of the climate right now with everything happening. I always received support from, I worked at Channel 13, you know, in any time, and in my colleagues as well. I think Norma would probably agree if we had an issue, if we didn't like a Facebook post, if something was derogatory or negative, you know, it was taken down. And, you know, the news director was very supportive of colleagues who felt harassed or threatened and took action. Mm-hmm. I mean, called the police at times if that needed to be. So I definitely felt support from the station. But, you know, the big picture, I hope it changes, because hearing the stories, you know, from Casey and others is just, this is 2017, and this is just, it's embarrassing, and it's hurtful, and, you know, it's just hard to hear and hard to believe this still happening.
You know, the majority of viewers will actually come in and back you up as well. Again, going back to the mm-hmm. Facebook Live, if there's an inappropriate comment, there'll be a viewer who jumps in and they'll say, you know what, that's not cool, or don't say that again, or they'll just say that's inappropriate. So the majority of viewers totally get it and are wonderful. And then there's just that, you know, not even 1%, but the majority of viewers will come in and jump in and make things right. Exactly.
Yeah. You agree with that, Casey?
I do agree. I mean, my problem probably out in West Texas was that a lot of people didn't look like me. And people didn't want to go against what was the norm in Texas. You got to keep in mind the history of Texas. I mean, that was the last state to free the slaves 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation was signed. So I knew what I was getting into, but I didn't know the magnitude of what would happen to me. And 1,000%, I can say it made me a much stronger person, stronger journalist. But I definitely didn't get support from management at all. I mean, management was in the same boat, honestly. I mean, management would agree with the comments that were there. So that was pretty difficult.
Norma Holland?
Wow. Your management would agree with the racist comments from the viewers?
Agree.
Again, not here. She's talking about a previous job in West Texas.
I'm talking about in Texas.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Would agree and told me that the only way for me to become better, to have the look, to have the voice, was to be Tyler, who was a white man. So I said, wait a minute.
Oh, Lord.
Well, there's a couple things different about us that I could just see. And he said, well, you got to work on it.
Oh, come on.
A few weeks after that, he was fired.
I'm so glad you're not there anymore, Casey.
Me too.
I'm so glad you're not there anymore. No, you know what? I'll tell you this, Evan. I think this. I believe this. People treat you the way you allow them to treat you, right? But here's the thing. If you were to clap back, as that anchor said, at everyone who wrote to you a nasty comment, you would have no time in your day. And like Stacey said, you got to pick your battles, right? You can't take everyone on in every nasty comment. But I do feel that things are changing for the better. And management, like Patrice said, has backed us up. So have our web people and our social media experts at the station who work to monitor comments to keep them from being so nasty and so livid or violent in nature. Because sometimes, you know, we've had to call the police, you know, because people make threats. So, you know, I do feel that is changing for the better.
Okay, well, let's get some feedback from our listeners. I'm going to start with Mary in Rochester first in the line. Go ahead, Mary.
Oh, hi. Yeah, so I love that you guys are talking about this, but I also have to say it's about time that we start looking at it from the perspective of the community that we're serving as being our abusers. I'm a physician locally, and I'm in a male-dominated field, and I can't tell you how many times I've been sexually harassed by patients. And I have not received the support of my facility, and in fact, I've been told, well, you just have problems with patients. You know, and this is even though it's been documented by other female physicians that the patient was inappropriate, should never be seen by a female, you know, practitioner. And it's just, it's really frustrating. I mean, you're trying to do a job as a professional, and it just undercuts your intelligence as a woman. It undercuts the fact that you've paid your dues, and you should be respected. And, you know, and then to have, you know, the facility, the institution turn around and say, it's your fault. You know, it's like, really? That's very modern century of you. And I can also tell you that when I interviewed for residency, I purposely left any discussion of family, marriage, whatever, off my application, because I don't think it was any of their business. And I was asked point blank by the head of one of the departments, you know, he said, "I notice you don't have a ring on your finger, and you don't mention any family. So I want to know what your plans are reproductively during residency." And I'm a little bit older, so I said, "Menopause." And the other guy laughed, and, you know, and that guy shut up. But, you know, and that was just the tip of the iceberg, and that wasn't that long ago. Mm. So we really haven't come a long way, baby. We're back where we were, and I don't know. Mm. I don't see it getting better.
But, Mary, can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
When you have a patient or someone you're serving harassing you, as you said, during an appointment, do you try to do your best to ignore it, or do you confront it directly? I mean, I'm curious to know.
I get in their face. So today I said, "Listen, man, this isn't a date. We're not on a date here. This is a professional environment. You know, you have to respect the fact that it's inappropriate for you to make comments about the way I look or the way that I'm dressed or, you know, any of that, because that does not feed into this interaction in a meaningful way."
Mary, I'm sorry you go through that, but thanks for being willing to share that. I think it's important. And so with that, when I want to turn to our panel, and not only for reaction to that, but Mary's phone call brings to mind the kinds of comments that, Norm, I'll start with you on this, because I remember there were some harassers when I was working alongside you, people who would harass and either be super sort of creepy, kind of sexual, or remarkably rude. And I was actually sort of nervous to the point where, you know, there were conversations on safety, et cetera. And once in a while, people like that online would make comments like, "What, I'm not allowed to flirt? Like, are men not allowed to just have, what's next? We're not allowed to talk to a woman anymore?" You know, it's this idea that people think that because a woman exists, they exist for the purpose of some kind of quasi-sexual interaction instead of in their professional capacity. And what Mary described in dealing with that on a near daily basis is sad, but I mean, it doesn't surprise me. What do you say, Norma, to the people who would say, "Oh, come on, grow a thicker skin," or, you know, people are allowed to have interaction, you know? I mean, like, men have this sort of entitlement that, you know, flirtation is
the problem is this.
Sort of normal there.
Well, here's the thing. Evan, you got women who are dressed up every day. We're wearing dresses, high heels, we're wearing suits, makeup, lipstick, you know, jewelry, the whole nine yards. We're all dressed up. And that's what I meant by earlier in the discussion, that because we're, you know, dressed appropriately or dressed, you know, in a business capacity, some people will look at our clothing and say, "But she's asking for it, right? Like, she wants me to comment on her dress or how she looks. I mean, why would she dress that way otherwise, you know?" Mm-hmm. And so because of that, people feel very entitled, and men in many cases, to make those comments because, you know, for them, it's like a red, it's like a green light, you know, it's like a green light. You know, here I am all done up. Tell me how beautiful I am, you know, and be specific, which, you know, is not true. Women are not asking for that. We're just, you know, we're going to work, you know? So there's that. But yeah, I mean, you did sit next to me when, you know, a man made some, very inappropriate comments that, scared me, quite frankly, and had, you know, I had to reach out to my boss and I had to have police come and, you know, it had to get lawyers involved. And I mean, it was ugly. It was scary, you know, because I didn't know who this guy was. I didn't know if he was going to try and hurt me or if he was sitting in the parking lot, you know. It was terrifying. That was the first time that had ever happened to me. And the comments were offensive on so many levels, and I couldn't, you know, pick one, right? And, but yeah, I think though that there is that expectation that because we're, you know, some people will call us eye candy, or as that one consultant said, she didn't mean it that way, but, you know, an opportunity for color, that people can just say whatever they want. Well, you know, and that we're not human.
I think back to what Stacey Pynchon, chief meteorologist at WROC-TV, said earlier this hour, which is, and I'm paraphrasing here, but I hope I'm representing your comment accurately when you say there's a difference between saying, hey, you look nice today, and then something obviously sexual and flirtatious or suggestive. And, you know, that's why I think it's a cop-out, Stacey, for men to say, oh, I'm not allowed just, like, I can't interact with women, or I'm just being nice, or flirting is part of life.
There are certain ways to interact, you know, with people. And I'm going to use a dress as an example. You know, I could wear a black dress and I could have one viewer say, hot little, you know, LBD you're wearing today, a little black dress. And then on the other hand, I actually just got this email this morning and I'm going to read it. The subject was Stacey's wardrobe. Where do you get your outfits? They're wonderful. My daughter is a working girl, and I want to buy her a couple dresses for Christmas. Most of the clothes that they have out there fall way short of the mark for a professional. Can you reveal your source? P.S. You do a wonderful job, and we enjoy your weather forecast. That's how you interact.
Okay.
And that's how, you know, mm-hmm. you can compliment a person on what they're wearing and how, you know, they look. But there are ways to go about it, you know. I love being a role model for younger girls and, you know, women who are professionals. I love that email. And you know what? I shop at Marshall's and I shop at TJ Maxx.
Bargain!
My secret is a bargain shopper. So there you go. The secret's out. But again, there's ways to compliment someone and there are ways to not compliment someone.
And so Patrice, as a mom who has raised some wonderful adults now, is part of that how we're raising kids, do you think? Is it part of how we're teaching kids who become adults to interact with others?
You know, I hate to blame the parents. I feel like, you know, parents can only do so much. I mean, obviously you want the best for your kids. And I know with my children, I just tried to, you know, tell them to be kind and considerate. And, you know, you hope that people think before they say things. And you know, everybody has said here, the majority of viewers are nice. I mean, and I think we all appreciate the fact that they watched us. And I'm saying past tense because I'm not doing it anymore. But and that, you know, and that they took the time to say, you know, I like you. I like your reports. I like, you know, my favorite compliments were, you know, you're so sensitive, you're compassionate. That to me made my day. Don't tell me that you like my dress, but that's okay if you say it in the right way.
Well, let me be clear, Patrice. You were the best dresser we ever had.
Not according to some mean viewers.
Nah, honey, you set the mold. You were the standard. But anyway, I'm going to be quiet. I'm fangirling over Patrice.
Marshalls, I'll tell you, like Stacey said. But you know, I think, and it's just sad to say that some people just say stupid things. And do they know that they're hurtful? I would hope not. But I think people don't think. I think people have too much time on their hands. The internet is, you know, where you can go and post anything you want. And, you know, you can do it without somebody knowing who you are. So I can just say anything I want. And again, I know we've said this before, but people don't think we are going to be hurt by it. I don't think, mm-hmm. Or maybe they don't care. But I just can't imagine why you would say some things like that you wouldn't say to your own friends or family, or that you wouldn't say publicly.
Let me get Casey's thoughts as well. Then what we're going to do is get our only break, and we're going right back to your phone calls for the rest of the hour. We are filled up, and people are weighing in a lot of different directions here. But Casey, you know, you talked about what you experienced in terms of racism. Certainly, you know, you understand, you've experienced, you know, men making comments that are not related to your work, and then the cop-out of, well, I'm just trying to be nicer. I'm just, you know.
Yeah.
What's your take on that?
I think for the most part, even back in Texas to here, mm-hmm. anytime a man wants to comment on my appearance, they usually do it respectfully. Here and there, I've had a few men tell me that I'm dressed like I want to have their babies, which I'm not sure that's how that's dressed. But I think that we put a lot of emphasis on women dressing a certain way. Don't dress too revealing. Don't show too much of your legs. Don't show too much of your cleavage. Why can't we put more of an emphasis on women dress however you feel most confident, however you like to dress, and men just respect women? I mean, it should be like a basic thing. I was just talking to my mom about how we just need to develop a culture of just respecting other people. It's not about what you're wearing. It's just how you treat other people. I could be naked and you should still be able to treat me with respect. That doesn't mean that I'm asking for comments or to be sexually harassed. That just means that's how I feel comfortable. And I'm all about people being confident and comfortable in their own skin, however that looks. Probably not naked, of course. But it's just, you know, I think we need to do a better job at that. And like you said, if viewers knew that they were being as hurtful, maybe they wouldn't do it. I like to think that there's more nice people in the world than mean people. And there are. But those comments that you get that are mean, of course, cut a lot deeper than the comments that are nice.
Let's get our only break of the hour, and we're going to come back with Casey Jones, reporter at WHEC, Stacey Pengen, chief meteorologist at WROC-TV, Norma Holland, anchor for 13 Wham News, Patrice Walsh, former reporter at 13 Wham, and your phone calls next on Connections. Coming up in our second hour, gift giving around the holidays. How do we do it? How do we get away from materialism or just checking a box, making a long list of people you have to buy for when you maybe don't feel like it? Are there better ways to do it? You're going to hear some ideas from listeners. We would love to hear from you. We'll talk about the research of what a massive amount of gift buying can do to kids long term and more. That's all next hour on Connections. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Sam in Rochester is next on the phone. Go ahead, Sam.
Yes. I want to address the elephant in the room. Now, Norma works at a Channel 13 and Fox, but she's really not addressing where the issue started at. The issue started at the station because the other African-American lady that works there with her cannot wear her original hair that was given to her by God. She has to put a wig on. And that's one of the guidelines of the station. So if you want to take away the prejudice, you got to take that away and let her be natural and wear what God gave her. Norma?
Sam?
Sir, I have to tell you right now, I need to stop you right there. I appreciate what you're saying, but there is no guideline about wearing our hair any particular way. If my colleague chooses to wear her hair with a weave, with a wig, with whatever, or she decides to go natural, she has the full blessing and the full support of our staff and our management. It's a decision that she's been very vocal and outspoken about and has decided that for her, wearing her hair in the way that she wears it now is most comfortable and most is best for her. She is not afraid
to
be natural.
When they had the special on a Saturday or Sunday, that was not what she said. And that was not what they were talking about, because you had the young man who did the special when he went out in the city and was talking about the hair, and they did that special Sunday or Saturday. They did that special, and that was not what was said. And she showed a picture where she said, I would be more comfortable wearing my own hair.
I don't recall that being said, but I do know that she has spoken to our management, and they have said, however you wish to wear your hair is fine by us. And that is a choice that she has made. She's been very vocal about it. I don't disagree that in this industry there are efforts to try and make sometimes a standard that some women feel they need to achieve. And that does exist in our industry. But I can assure you, and I say this with all confidence, that my colleague's decision to wear her hair the way she does is her decision, and I think she looks beautiful no matter how she wears her hair.
I agree.
And that's the truth.
Okay.
Well, Casey? I could chime in there because I've worn my natural hair on air and my straightened hair on air. So what I've been told by consultants is that, which are the people that come in and tell you what viewers would like best, is that my natural hair is a distraction. My curly hair, the afro, is just too much for people to look at. And I guess I can see where that comes from.
No.
But also, another thing is, even when I was trying to get jobs, as, you know, news directors were looking at my reel, I had some pieces of natural hair. In fact, it was I was covering a high school shooting, and I happened to have my hair natural. And he said, I'm not really too fond of that look. Not a fan.
Mm-hmm.
So to work in this industry, of course, we put ourselves on this pedestal. We put ourselves in this public light, and sometimes we just want to do what makes other people feel most comfortable. I've never been told by anyone here at WHEC that I was not able to wear my hair natural. Back in Texas, I had little side comments whenever I would wear my hair natural saying, well, how long does it take you to straighten your hair? Maybe you should straighten your hair. Maybe, you know, your hair looks better the other way. So nobody would outright tell me that I couldn't wear my natural hair. However, it's just an industry mold, you know, that we need to have a certain look, straight hair, the dress, the heels. It's like it goes all together. And I've even seen white women deal with the same things. When they have wavy hair, they have been told that their hair doesn't look good like that. So it's not just a black thing. Of course, it happens to black women a lot more, but it's not just exclusive to us.
I agree. And I've had some
curly hair
hair issues myself. and in consultants who have said, you know, you need to darken it, shorten it, you know. So I think, again, part of it is wanting everybody to conform to a certain look, which I always protested against because I want my own look. But I think it does. Women are judged more for their hair, their appearance, than men.
Yeah, I mean, just...
That is true.
The only perspective, I'm careful not to say too much here, but I will just say, I think if you're going to work on air, there will be some conversation about the look, but we have a society that tends to default to professional equals white standard.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so...
I would agree.
Okay, and... I think that it's time for us to kind of grow up a little on that. Ellen and Menden, next up.
I'm going to say this, may say this.
Yeah, hold on, Ellen and Menden. Stay there. Go ahead, Norma. Yep.
No, Casey, and you know, I love what you said about, you know, that people do sometimes when you wear your hair natural, they kind of look at you like, what's that? What is that? You know,
it makes people uncomfortable.
And, I have curly, which is too bad because, you know, I have a colleague who went natural about a year before she left the station. She never looked more beautiful to me than when she wore her hair curly. I mean it. She was working in radio in Rochester. She had her hair curly on the air, and everyone loved it. I mean, nobody said, like, ugh, what was that, you know? I hope that things are changing. And I see it happening. You see reporters across the country going natural. And they look great.
I would
agree.
You know
what I'm saying? And, I think, though, the one thing, though, you have to be comfortable, like you said, in your own skin. And I feel like if the person who's doing it is doing it and with all confidence, go for it, right? But if they're not there yet, you know, who are we to say, you know, anything about it, right? Like I say, when you feel like it, do it.
Norma, do you know
Do
you know any TV consultants who aren't white?
I don't.
I've never met one.
I don't think that's just came in my head. I don't think I can literally think of any. Let me go back to the phones. Ellen and Menden, go ahead, Ellen.
Okay, hi. So for 28 years, I was a reporter in the mining industry, which is extremely, you know, male-dominated industry. And one of my female, not a colleague, but she was with a law institute, and she would travel to the same conferences that I would for mining. And she was raped by a conference attendee. The case ended up being settled. There was sort of this, code that we women who attended these conferences had, and it was just, you know, whether or not a yes or a no on should you go out with a certain group of men for dinner, because let's face it, there just weren't a lot of us. There were more men than women. So I'm really happy to see this, but I got to tell you that the conversations that we as women had to put up with, and, you know, like you're always being called baby doll, or professionally, even up to a year ago, I would get a call every once in a while from a guy, and he'd go, so what are you wearing? Mm-hmm. And I would be like, flannel shirt and blue jeans. You know what? And he'd say, oh, you're not supposed to say that. You're supposed to say nothing but a smile. So I'm glad that these cases are coming to the forefront, and we're talking about this. On the other hand, I also have problems with
a female attorney that I know who would say if she was losing a case, she would put on a low-cut red dress. And so then I see women who also use their sexuality to try to get things, which makes me incredibly uncomfortable. So I think it's a two-way street that if we want respect as women, and I don't want to call this body shaming or anything, but I think that we need to dress appropriately and act appropriately if we want that respect from men as well. And it just, when this one attorney like would say these things about putting on her low-cut red dress if she thought she was losing a case, it just killed me inside. You know, because you want things and society to change, but it's got to be a two-way street. So if there was a little talk about that, that would be good.
Can I just,
Ellen?
Say
thank
something?
You. Yeah, Patrice Walsh, go ahead.
I don't know if I agree fully because I feel like women are always judged on their appearance. I'll speak from the news aspect, and I'm not speaking locally, just globally, really. I think there's an age issue. I think we are not allowed to age gracefully on TV. We are judged. Yet men can lose their hair. They can put on weight. They can be older, and they're respected. So I definitely think, even in this day and age, women are held to a different standard, and it's not fair.
There's a fictional show, Veep, and I get that it's fiction, but the reason this plot line worked was because of how true to life it was. There's a main anchor, younger guy in his 30s, anchoring for one of the national shows alongside a woman who is in her 50s, and she started planting stories that they were sleeping together, and eventually it comes out she told him, I know we're not sleeping together. I want the audience to think that I still have a shot with a guy like you, because if they think I don't, I'm out of here, and the next young woman gets to replace me. And the reason that plotline worked, a lot of people said, was, well, that felt too real, which is ridiculous, because you're right, Patrice, as a man, I've never felt any sort of pressure in that way. So, you know, Casey, you said, had some things to say earlier about dressing how you're comfortable, and, you know, Ellen is, you know, raising some other points. So what would you say to that?
Well, I think that it's not all about how you're presenting yourself, because I've heard stories of women in dresses as long as their toes who get raped like that. So if we're saying that it's only based on how you're dressed, I mean, I would say that that's incorrect, because I can be dressed in a bikini or I could be dressed in a maxi dress. And either way, I still could be subjected to sexual harassment or sexual abuse because of the perpetrator. That doesn't say anything about me. That says something about the person who's committing the crime or harassing me. So, yeah.
Stacey Pension.
I think because we are presenting facts, we're presenting the weather, we're presenting the news, we do need to dress, you know, professionally in a way that is not going to be distracting, whatever that is. But the problem is, you know, people have their own opinions, they have their own standards, they have their own sort of guidelines. So I don't know what's going to be distracting to person A versus person B. So sometimes it's difficult to pick out an outfit to wear in the morning and, you know, try to please everybody.
Okay, Norma Holland, some final thoughts from you on that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that you have to you have to dress in a way that you want, you know, people to notice what you're saying, and not necessarily. And maybe that's boring for some people, right? So some people may be like, well, but that's not, you know, you can't dress snazzy if you're going to be, you know, dressing like that. I prefer to err on the side of caution, and I just, you know, I wear what I know. What fits me, what looks good on me, and then at the same time will allow my words to matter more than my appearance. That's just how I am, you know, 12 years of Catholic school, you wear a uniform every day. That's, you know, kind of how you look at, you know, clothing is you want the words to speak, not your clothes.
I take that point and Ellen's point. I also take Casey's point that I'm just going to say, as the man leading this panel here, men need to stop blaming people who get harassed. And we need to point the finger at the harassers and start there and maybe stay there. We had more phone calls and emails and comments that we could get through this hour. It was just one of those things. And that happens because people are passionate about a subject. So a tremendous amount of respect and gratitude we have for the people sharing their stories today. Norma Holland, see you soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
good
friend.
Luck with the baby.
Thank you.
Norma is an anchor.
Not away.
13 WHAM. Casey Jones, reporter at WHEC. Congratulations again on 1 year coming up here.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in and sharing your experiences. Stacey Pengen, we'll see you on WROC-TV. Thank you so much.
Thank
and Patrice Walsh, former reporter at 13 WHAM. Thank you, Patrice.
Thank you.
More connections coming up.